Hello, and welcome to this podcast from Consider This. Please let me know what you think and tell others about us on social media. This podcast was originally broadcast live on Northumberland 89.7 FM. You can hear this show live every Friday at noon. Thank you for downloading this program, and I hope you enjoy it.
Hello and welcome back. This is Consider This Northumberland, and I'm your host, Robert Washburn, and you're listening to Northumberland 89.7 FM. The Canadian Labour International Film Festival is coming to Northumberland in December at the Coburg Library. It is free. Organizer Derek Blackadder says the festival is an opportunity for the public to watch films from around the world that speak to the issues facing working people. He is quick to emphasize these movies are not necessarily about unions. Instead, they represent the struggles and issues many people face in their jobs. You decide whether the lineup reflects the realities of the past and present of your job. I am delighted to have with me today Derek Blackadder, the local organizer for the Canadian Labour International Film Festival. Welcome to Consider This.
Thanks, Rob. It's always a pleasure to be here with you.
Let's start with the basics. What is the Canadian Labour International Film Festival?
The basics. Well, what it is a group of volunteers who solicit donations from individuals and from unions, mostly, who solicit submissions from filmmakers around the world every year. That usually results in a couple of hundred films coming to us. We go through those films. We reduce the number. And sometimes that's, of course, a painful process for us and perhaps for the filmmakers, but we reduce the number to something a little more comprehensible. And then we package the films online and recruit local organizers like myself, who will then bring in an audience for either a physical event in their locality. So in our case, for example, we're using the Coburg Library this year, or either as an alternative or in addition to the physical event, the physical screening of the films, it's also possible for them to have a virtual event, which allows people who perhaps, in our case, for example, someone may not be able to drive in from Campbellford to the Coburg Public Library. Instead, they can stay at home and watch the films that I've selected, the ones that I thought would be of interest to a local audience, in the comfort of their own living room, with friends or on their own.
When was the first one held?
2008. And back then, all of the events, of course, were physical. The pandemic hadn't yet opened our eyes to the possibility of online streaming. And so all of our events were physical. In that first year, I think I wasn't directly involved, I was in the audience back then. But that first year, we had fewer than 10 events across the country. And what we would do, what the volunteers at CLIF would do, was burn DVDs of the films to order. So somebody like me would select from a menu of films. Well, you could have, a 1-hour session that you might set up for your workplace and people on their lunch break, or up to a couple of hours. The volunteers would burn your selection of films to a DVD and send it to you in the mail.
How many locations are you showing the films in this year?
This year, at the moment, there's a possibility, though technically our deadline has passed, there's the possibility that if somebody had a good reason for it, we might add them. But right now, 72.
How many times has the film festival come to Northumberland?
I think this would probably be about the 10th, 11th, or 12th time.
And how did you get involved? You mentioned that you had been in the audience earlier, but when did you get involved in an organizational way and locally?
Locally, probably about 2014, 2015. Around then, I started talking to the local labor council and a couple of the unions in the area about, well, first of all, whether they were interested. Secondly, whether they thought their members might be interested. And so, whether it'd be worthwhile me putting some time in. And then in 2000 and sorry about the cat noises. In 2017, I retired, and as I transitioned into retirement, I was looking for some things to keep me engaged. I had been an active member or a staff person with three different unions over 40 some odd years, and I was looking for a way to stay connected, but something that wouldn't be too terribly time consuming, and most importantly, something that would involve any travel. And this seemed to be it.
Where is the film festival being held and when?
The 1st of December at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. At the Coburg Public Library in the meeting room, just off the lobby.
And who is the local sponsor of the event?
The Northumberland Labour Council.
Now, what was the motivation to create a film festival specific to labor?
With a few exceptions, which aren't too terribly accessible, the working people don't often have an opportunity to see themselves or people like them who are experiencing things that would be familiar to them on film, on the big screen, or on the small screen for that matter. There has been, they come and go, it seems to come and go in waves, but there has been, a significant number of film festivals like CLIF around the world. They're almost all volunteer dependent, and so, they'll go through a bad patch. We saw the disappearance of a few that had been around for many years as a result of the COVID lockdowns. There weren't any places where you could go to watch anything from a drama to, a comedy short of 5 minutes in length that actually spoke to you and to the life that you live. If you were a working class viewer, as opposed to someone who, would sit back and watch something like, I don't know, Frasier, which was sorry, I picked a TV show, but you just weren't we just weren't seeing ourselves represented on film, and this was a way to take the admittedly small in comparison with the commercial offerings of Hollywood and other places, but an opportunity to take some films like that, package them, and make it as easy as possible for people to expose themselves to a different way of viewing the world. And when I say easy, I should also point out all CLIF events are absolutely free.
What type of films qualify?
They don't have to be, despite the impression that we sometimes hear we leave, they don't have to be films about trade unions or about union struggles, that we certainly get those. We're looking for films that are about work and the people who do it. So, you might, in the past, we've had films that I could only describe, I think, as lyrical about South Korean women, deep sea divers. And at the same time, we've got films like we had City of Widows, which is about the mesothelioma, the asbestosis epidemic in Peterborough of a few years ago. So from a light, pleasant, uplifting, relaxing theme to one that's intense and frankly, a film that would make you angry by the time you were done watching it. A wide variety. This year, we actually have a comedy film about the effect, the introduction of artificial intelligence into an office workplace from France.
Interesting, because when you look at the mandate, it says to provide workers all over Canada with examples of what other workers have done, whether in Canada or around the world, to deal with challenges that they have had in their workplaces. And you've been giving us some examples, but how do the films mesh with what you're trying to achieve through the film festival?
I'm not sure that I could articulate that an answer to your question. Each film that gets submitted to the festival is viewed by now at least six, and many of them by eight people, and it's a very personalized. Personal and personalized process of selecting the films. It can also be very time consuming because while that phrase that you just read from our website does describe what we do, the way in which we implement that will vary significantly from person to person. We've never had anything like what I would call a fight on the programming committee who selects the films, but we come from different backgrounds. We're actually selected. The board selects new members to ensure that there's diversity in every sense of the word on the board, and that often means that we have very different ideas of how to, as you put it, implement that motto or that mission statement. So I'm not sure that I can give you a better answer than that, I'm afraid.
It's interesting, though. It says that the films deal with both the past and the present. And I'm just wondering, can you give us some examples and tell us a bit about the films that makes them meet that aspect where it looks back, but and historically, but also speaks to issues that are very current and relevant?
Well, in the form of a single film, this year we have a film entitled in English, I think it translates as The Silicosis Affair. And it's a look at the struggle in Quebec's Thetford Mines, Asbestos Quebec region, where asbestos was mined for decades. It looks at the struggle in the 1940s and early 1950s of not just the workers in the mines who are being exposed to silicosis and or silicone to asbestos, but also their family's exposure, their reaction of the community to the company's denial of responsibility for the epidemic of mesothelioma in the area amongst mine workers. And it draws parallels to similar struggles today. Well, I just slipped up a moment ago and used the term silicosis when I was when I meant to talk about mesothelioma. So there are similar struggles going on today, similar difficulties in convincing occupational health and safety authorities and industrial hygienists that there's a problem and that it needs to be addressed, having to deal with the influence of large wealthy employers in whose interest it is to try and ensure that the industry that they own and they profit from remains so by keeping regulation as far as possible from their doorway. At the same time, we also have a film this year that I mentioned in passing a moment ago, which is called Humour-matic, a French film, in which. Oh yeah, no. We get a significant number of our submissions are from outside Canada. Last year, I think, actually selected for the festival were an oddly large number of films from Spain. But this film from France, Humour-matic, actually looks to the future. It's a whimsical, I think you could say, slightly subversive take on what happens or what might happen When an office worker's job is taken over by artificial intelligence. And it looks back in the sense that it looks at the reactions of workers in the past to technological change, but also I think kind of points the way towards how or suggests how workers might office workers in particular might deal with AI in future. And it does so with a lot of humor.
So then, why is it important then to show international films and not just Canadian or North American?
Because the experience of work, of going to work, of going home at the end of the day to a working class community or neighborhood, of having to figure out, are you going to have enough money to retire on? Are you going to be able to send your kids to school or to university? Dealing with, an unpleasant employer, or dealing with a great employer. All of those things are, in some sense, universal. And we think that's an important point to make. We think it's important for people to understand that they have these things in common. And these things are really, really fundamental to how we perceive ourselves and how we make our way in the world.
The films appear to be very short. The longest I saw was about 45 minutes, but there are several that are under 10 minutes. Why so short?
Well, in part, it's because that is, if you're a filmmaker out there looking to make a film on these kinds of subjects or on these kinds of topics, you're not going to show up at the door in Hollywood, knock, and have somebody throw bags of money at you. You're more likely going to be working with a much smaller budget, and at a certain point, a small budget means a short film. That doesn't mean a bad film. It means a short film. Now, for our purposes, that actually works. Even if that were no longer true, we'd still be spending a lot of time, I think, trying to select short films because it makes the packages that people are able to put together. You may have seen now, with so much of what we do being online, now people can select their own films. We put them together for them in the online on the online platform, and they can tailor the length of the package that they put together to suit their audience. So we do have people. I'm trying to think. Well, on our website, if you look at the list of events, you'll see that there are at least two or three this year lunchtime events. People in a particular workplace are going to go to a meeting room and watch at the very most, they could watch about 50 minutes worth of films. This makes it possible for the coordinator of that event to show people, say, five films rather than one, or rather than none if all we had were feature-length films.
Wages, mental health, benefits, and flexible work schedules are identified as key issues for unions in 2024 by the Conference Board of Canada. How is this reflected in the film festival? What are the key issues that the films are identifying, and are they matching up with sort of what are the larger issues that unions are facing?
First of all, I'm not sure that I would take the conference board's opinions about what unions are facing as the gospel. The conference board has a very mechanistic, economistic interpretation or analysis of the world and the issues out there. But you are going to find in our films, you are going to find people who are. There's a. I'll use an example. One of our films is from New Brunswick, and it's a bilingual film, and the portions in English are subtitled, so everybody can enjoy it, and vice versa, actually. It's a film about over 20,000 New Brunswick workers trying to address the impact of inflation and of stagnant wages, long stagnant wages, on their lives and on their families. And it's about how their union took on and beat I mean, there's never a clear 100% victory, but clearly they got significantly more out of the provincial government of New Brunswick than that government was prepared to pay. And that process of them doing that and the reasons why the union was successful, the extreme pressures under which the employees, the workers were living, is laid out in the film. So that, I guess, would be a good idea. But I still won't concede the point on the conference board.
There is a greater awareness of unions in this past year. Public service workers and the Liquor Control Board workers went out, walked on picket lines this past year. Right now, port workers in British Columbia are making news. Do you think this will mean more people will be interested locally in the film festival?
I'm hoping so. We haven't done our big push. There's, the word is out there, and there are a few people who've indicated they're coming. Well, yeah, I think, in a way that it might not have a year ago, I would think the film festival, or, really the films in the festival, as opposed to the festival itself, will have more of a resonance with people like the LCBO workers who were out last summer, just because they've been through a fairly a quite always for any worker quite intense experience of being on strike, and in their case, I think being on strike for the first time, as I recall. And so, yeah, I think I'm hoping that there'll be more interest. We'll certainly be making an extra special effort to contact the LCBO workers in the area and make them aware of the festival.
Unions and labor activists sometimes draw criticism, and the public perception of unions can be both positive and negative. How do you think that impacts the film festival and people's participation?
We tend to draw, honestly, we would tend to draw people who are union positive. From my time on Facebook, I know that there are a lot of anti-union people out there, but I wouldn't expect that many of them will show up in out of curiosity or for any other reason. We might see some union neutral folks. And we try very hard to make it clear to everyone that not the film festival is not a union film festival. There are out of the 14 films, I don't know. I really, just off the top of my head, I would say three or four are what you could call union films, maybe five, but the others are about. About work and about workers, and you wouldn't have to be predisposed to have kind thoughts about a trade union to enjoy the films. I mean, one film, for example, that actually I can't. Well, nobody's going to. None of the producers will hear this interview, I hope. But we have one film called The Canadian Dream, which has won an award that'll soon be announced. It's about migrant workers. It will appeal perhaps to some migrant workers here in this area, because there are many of them. But it doesn't mention trade unions. It's not about trade union organizing. It's about migrant workers organizing, and not and organizing amongst themselves, but not necessarily for the purpose of creating a union.
For those interested in coming, can you tell us one more time the details if people want to come and watch the films?
We're in the meeting room at the Cobourg Library, 2 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday, the 1st of December. The entire screening will last about 2 hours, and there'll be popcorn and soft drinks and possibly other snacks there available for everyone. And the event and the snacks and everything else are all free.
Derek Blackadder, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Always a pleasure, Rob. Thank you.
That was Canadian Labour International Film Festival organizer Derek Blackadder. I want to thank my guests this week for talking to me, and I want to thank all the listeners for tuning in today. Please join me again next week when we will talk to the people on the front lines and those behind the scenes who make a difference in your life and Northumberland County. So please tune in. If you would like to listen or share this or any podcast, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. There you will find past podcasts, news, and other information about life and politics in Northumberland County. Or you can go to the radio station's website at northumberland897.ca. I'm Robert Washburn. Thanks for taking time out of your day to listen in, and I hope over the week you will continue to consider this. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Consider This. If you have any comments or would like to suggest a story, please contact me at considerthisnorthumberland@gmail.com, or you can message me on Facebook at Consider This. If you enjoyed this podcast or are looking for more news and information about Northumberland County, please check out my website at consider-this.ca. That's consider-this.ca. And don't forget to share. And again, thank you for listening and stay tuned for more from Consider This.